I want to share with you this morning just a few thoughts concerning water baptism before we go up to the baptismal tank. Jeff, how's the water? Cold, hot, lukewarm? I'd rather that it would be lukewarm rather than cold or hot. If people start shouting in the baptistry, I'd like for it to be for the right reasons. Amen. I suppose nearly every little kid that's been raised in a church where water baptism was observed has attempted at some point in time to baptize a dog or a cat. I heard about a little boy one day, Johnny. Why are these boys in these stories always named Johnny? But anyway, mother looked out the window and saw Johnny playing church with their three kittens. He had lined them up and was preaching to them. The mother turned around to do some work, but soon she heard cats meowing very fiercely, scratching on the door. She went to the window and saw Johnny baptizing the kittens. She opened the window and said, "Johnny, stop that. You'll drown those kittens." Johnny looked at her and said with much conviction in his voice, "They should have thought of that before they joined my church." So I'm giving you guys fair warning. I remember a story my mother told me years ago about when she was a little girl. This was before she knew anything at all about Pentecost at all. She was raised a Little Church of Christ girl. Went out one day into the old barn, draped herself over an old storage chest, and said, "God, if you're real, I need to know you in a real way." Her heart had been broken by an unfaithful husband. She knelt there and God baptized that little Church of Christ girl with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But before she even had that, she was just a little girl when this happened. They were evidently, you know, Pentecost had come through the country and, you know, Pentecostal people are, they're good targets. And sometimes we earn that right. We do stuff sometimes we probably shouldn't do, but then again, I don't know. I'd rather do something as nothing. Unless the something is so bad it just needs not to be done. Okay. But apparently they had been through the country, the Pentecostal people, and they were the subject of talk around the little community where she was raised. And so one day, her and some of her friends were out in the front yard, and they started playing church. And some of them got to praising the Lord, raising their hand and all that good stuff, and shouting and praising God. And my mother told me that the rest of the kids got tired of it and kind of drifted off and started doing other things. And my mother said, "I tried to quit. And I could not quit praising God." Praise the Lord. Even though libraries have been written on the subject of water baptism, there are things that we may never in this life understand about the dynamics of baptism. I'm searching this past week in the New Testament to see what Scripture teaches about baptism. I just want to share a few of those thoughts with you that came across while I was in this study. In the days of John the Baptist, who was, I guess, probably the first baptizer, he preached the idea of a changed life in connection with water baptism. In Mark chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There went out to him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And then in Luke chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, "Then said he, This is John speaking. To the multitude that came forth to be baptized him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Let me tell you something about God. God loves you like you are. If you think of the meanest, sorriest, low-downest person on this earth, and whoever that might be, I want to tell you something. God loves that person as much as He loves the saintliest of the saints. God loves them just that much. But God loves people too much to let them stay like they are. God has a plan for us, a plan of salvation, a plan in the Lord, of confessing, of changing. Hallelujah. But salvation changes a person. I'm thankful that a walk with God makes life better, not bitter, but better. Fully covered before with a wonderful testimony about how they used to be a rock star, or they used to be this or that and the other, and to hear the tone of their voice after they'd gotten saved and started giving their testimony to me, like they had the tone of voice that said, you know what, I could have really been somebody of God if I hadn't had the misfortune of getting saved and getting the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to tell you this. I didn't leave nothing back there. I mean, absolutely nothing did I leave back there in that life. God gave me the only real life I've ever known. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Are you glad you are saved? Praise the Lord. Praise God. These people that are going to follow the Lord in water baptism in just a few moments are not going to be baptized to be saved. They're going to be baptized because they are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, John says. In Jesus' day, He left no doubt as to the importance of being baptized. Just before He ascended into heaven, He gave His disciples this command in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, the scripture says, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you this. I just feel impressed to say this morning. There may be people in this room that came to see someone baptized. You may not know the Lord. But I tell you what, if you're not afraid of getting your Sunday morning clothes wet, you accept Jesus into your heart, and you tell this pastor as much, I just gave my heart to Jesus. You come up there and we'll get you wet too. Amen? Hallelujah. I promise you, we'll give you a dunking that you'll never forget. Hallelujah. I've seen it happen. I've seen sinners fall under conviction at a baptismal service and say, preacher, I want to get baptized. Go in with a suit of clothes on. Not ashamed. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. It's interesting to me to note that in the early church, there was no such thing as an unbaptized Christian. You don't find it. The only incident that I recall, and this is a consolation to me to know this, where someone went to heaven that accepted Jesus, was the thief on the cross. He was not given that opportunity. I am sure that if he were given that opportunity, he would have followed the Lord in water baptism, but he didn't get the chance. But we have the opportunity to follow the Lord in water baptism, and thank God for those that are following him in that sacred rite. Amen? Praise the Lord. All around us, we see people that are living empty and unfulfilling lives. They've cashed in their marriages, their families, their ethics, and everything else in pursuit of that something that is missing. And still there is as empty as they can be. The good news throughout history, when a man or woman meets God, there's always a change for the better. Always a change for the better. Would you please mute my microphone, please? And let comes from the Greek word metanoia. It is a reversal of opinion brought about by feelings of grief and regret over wrongdoing. Another meaning is to change one's mind about sin, to change one's thinking about wrongful behavior. Repentance means to turn over, to turn upon, to turn unto. The word epistrepho is used to bring out more clearly the distinct change wrought in repentance. It is used quite often to express the negative aspect, which is turning from sin, but it also expresses the positive side of change, turning to God. You know, the older I get, is this part of old age? But the older I get, the more of those little songs we used to sing in Booster Band come to my mind. And one just came to my mind, and I'm going to sing it for you. Turn your back on evil. Look up to the sky. Climb up Sunshine Mountain, you and I. How many of you have ever sung that little song in Sunday school? All over this room. Amen. Turn from your sin and turn to God. Hallelujah. You see, getting saved is not just quitting something. It's starting something. Ooh, glory to God. There's a lot of people go to the altar because they're scared of dying without God. They go to the altar to get ready to die, and surprise, surprise, they're not getting ready to die. They're just getting ready to live. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They just thought they were living before. Hallelujah to God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The two conceptions are inseparable and complementary. Turn from sin. Turn to God. In water baptism, there is the idea of new beginnings. There is a sense in which a believer attends the funeral of his old self when he is baptized. That's what the symbolism is about. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 reaffirms, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Leave that up there just for a minute, Heather. I want you to say that with me. Read it off the board. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I believe, as far as the world is concerned, the most disappointing day of the week is Sunday. Because all week long, people yearn for the weekend. People that don't know the Lord, they yearn for the week. I can't wait till Friday, TGIF. I can't wait till this week is over so that I can go blah, 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 do or whatever they do that leaves God out of the equation. And they are always, mark it down, take it to the bank, always disappointed with the results. Sunday for Christians is the day we look forward to. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I like Saturdays, but I tell you, I love Sundays. Praise God, because Sundays I get to be with my family. You're my family. Blood bought. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost filled. On our way to looking for the sound of the trumpet, listening for Jesus to come. Amen. I got that backwards. Looking for Jesus to come, listening for the sound. You get the picture. Amen. Sunday, we live, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I promise you 30 minutes of what you'll feel here today is worth a week of psychiatry. Amen. This don't cost you nothing. Praise God. I've seen people get healed just sitting in a service, just in the atmosphere. I've seen troubles melt away and smiles break out across faces just because they sense the presence of God in the midst. And isn't that wonderful that He's promised where two or three are gathered together in His name, He would be there. He is here among us today. Bless His name. Praise God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. We are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Finally, let me just say this, that water baptism makes a statement. It makes a statement. Mark 8 and 38 says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The ordinance of water baptism, for some, may seem like an embarrassing thing. What about this? You get ducked under, you know, and everybody's watching and all that stuff, and you come out looking rather undignified. You know, your hair's stringing down all over the place, and you know you're dripping wet and everything. But you know what? I'm not ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed. Hallelujah. You need to be as thankful as you've ever been about anything in your life. Praise God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For that matter, there's a lot of people in this world that think we're wasting our time this morning by coming to church on Sunday morning. They can't figure out for the life of them why in the world we do it so often. Why we do it every week. Some of us can't get enough of it, we come back Sunday night. Some of us can't get enough of it, we come back Monday night for Bible study. Some of us can't get enough, we come back Wednesday night for Bible study. Hallelujah. I tell you, folks, I'm glad, praise God, I want all of God I can get. I want all of Him I can get. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to own the Savior. See, the day will eventually come, and I'm seeing it happen in a number of lives that I contact almost daily. They know I'm a Christian. They know I'm a minister of the gospel. I've never tried to push my religion down their throat. I've tried to love them and be their friend. I think there's something to be said about when you're trying to win somebody to Jesus Christ, try being their friend first. Try to recognize the fact that they're a human being that's probably struggling with some of the same problems you struggle with. And be a friend to them. You know, one of the main evangelistic tools Jesus used? Eating. You go for that, won't you? Just look through your New Testament and find out how many people He ate with. They tell me that when He called Matthew from his tax collector position and said, "Follow me," and Matthew just got up and left a lucrative career, that very night, Matthew threw a party at his house. And they tell me, tradition says, that at that party, can you imagine a party made up of IRS agents? I said that as a joke, okay? Because some of them Christians, we meet people all the time who are Christians, love God just like you and I do. But they say that that night at that party is where Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son. He told it to the crowd that needed to hear it the most. Love people. I'm seeing people come around. I had an old boy the other day stop me. He knew I'm a preacher. He knew I was a preacher. He stopped. You know, I got a friend that really needs help. But, you know, he's really in bad shape. I can't remember the exact word. He didn't use church words. But he let me know, said, "Preacher, I think maybe God's the only chance this guy's got. Like, you go pray with him if you would." Oh boy, you don't know it, but you're just that close to down here. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Where are we at? Mark 8:38. Where are we at, Heather? What's the next one? There you go. Pull it up there. I got lost. Got on a rabbit trail. Psalm 119, verse 46 and 47. I will speak of thy testimonies. Listen to this about not being ashamed. The psalmist said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not shame. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Before kings? Yes. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Before anybody. You got the best thing in the world. You got the best deal anybody ever got. You're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of it. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause, Paul said, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Water baptism makes a statement of faith. It attests to forgiveness and cleansing from sin. Those who have declared their faith in Christ give public witness to their identification and his mission. It's a declaration that as he or she is uniting with the body of Christ. Water baptism indicates the seriousness of our commitment to Jesus Christ membership. You need to know that. This is not about joining a church. It's about joining Christ, which is far better than joining any church that's going or ever will go. Amen. It's joining up with Christ. It's a visible sign of that seals a spiritual commitment. It indicates the seriousness of our commitment to Jesus Christ. It affirms our salvation. We're born again, dead to sin, alive in him, and now free to walk in the newness of life. We pledge to God that we want to live for him. It gives the convert something to live up to. Amen. Some of your old buddies may get you in a corner someday, and they hear about your baptism. Got religion, did you? Well, and there it'll go. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, they'll do it. They're good at it. They're good at it. Let me tell you something. You got the upper hand because you got Jesus on your side. Had an old boy moved in California. I was in the 8th grade. I'll never forget it. He's the one, that's back before. You know, that's back in the days when kids wore the brick and the waistline was up here. But he's from California, and all fruitcakes seem to gravitate in California west or east. Maybe it does go west, go around the world. I don't know. He come in, he had his hair spiked up about 3 inches tall. He was doing the dude language and all the stuff, the kind of words, that was real cool. They had electric lights then. And I remember the first time at school, I was very impressed in a negative. But I tell you what, I was a lot less impressed that night when I went to the revival of the church and he was there, and I found out that his grandma went to my church. And that was the night I was hoping and praying that Sister Joan out. Sister Joan shouted more than she had ever shouted that. The Holy Ghost down, and there's people talking in tongues all. We had Pentecost that night, and I knew I was in for it the next day, and sure enough, I had a 4th hour class with him right after lunch. Got there a little early, got settled in, and here he came, britches around his you-know-what. Head, hair sticking up. Hallelujah, doy, 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 doy. Well, what did you do last night? You get the picture? I'm 13 years old. Tears brimmed in my eyes. Yeah, it hurt. It was persecution, verbal persecution. The rest of the class joined in. They made mincemeat out of me. But you know what? It made me angry. And I said, oh boy, you're going to pay for that. And I began to fast and pray for his salvation. In that same revival, I turned around one night, cleaned the pen. I turned around and looked at the altar. The first thing I saw was spiked hair. And a guy with his hands up in the air. And he was going, payday! Glory! Y'all, they'll make mincemeat out of you. They'll try to poke fun at you. But oh, praise God, always be glad for what you got. Amen. Always be glad for what God's given you. Praise the Lord. We pledge to live for Him. Galatians 6:14. Let's look at that. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Praise God. What a promise. What a promise. Before we go up to the baptistry area, I want to share with you what probably is one of my most inspiring stories of water baptismal service. That at least it pertained to a water baptismal service. When my wife and I pastored in Tahlequah, I went to a funeral service over in Stillwell. One day, I did not know the person that had died, but there were some families in the church that were that I knew and I pastored, and I, for their sake, I went to that funeral service. And there was an old Baptist pastor. He was 92 or 3 years of age. And he had lived long enough and pastored long enough that he had baptized 2 generations of family members. And all the way through his funeral sermon, he was wrong. Okay? But, you know, nobody laughed at it because they knew he was up in years, and that's just, you know, sometimes expected of people that are up in years. And so nobody thought anything about it at all. And he preached this message, a beautiful heart, stirring message of how God had blessed through the years and how he had known this family and how he had been with them and loved them and blessed them and all that. Well, we went out to the cemetery for the graveside service. We got out there, and I'll never forget as long as I live. It was high up on the side of a hill, and you could look down in a valley down beneath, and there was a beautiful creek running down through that valley. Beautiful, beautiful flowing water, and there were several places there that indicated it was a pretty good sized hole there. And this old Baptist preacher, before he committed this body to the earth, he said, folks, he said, I have no doubt where Sister Mary Bell is, because 61 years old, right down there, said, we went down into those waters, and I baptized her upon the profession of her